You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Texans are 3-1 in the preseason. They win their final game 14-6 over the Cowboys, but more importantly, hey, the preseason is over. Thank goodness we're about to see some real football. We're going to break this one down and tell you who we thought stood out, both good and bad. Welcome aboard, everybody. I'm Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, along with co-host Brian Patterson from Fansided's houseofhouston.com. Thanks for diving in to Locked On Texans, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. A couple of roster moves before we get to the postgame. Linebacker Ben Hitty was released, had the injury in the third preseason game, so this is kind of what we figured with Ben Heaney. Didn't see him much at all over the course of minicamp, training camp, and the preseason. And the other major move, offensive lineman Greg Mance was signed to a contract extension through 2020. And Brian, were you taken at all by surprise with the extension for Greg Mance? They want him not only for this year, but they signed him into next year as well.
I think that you have some stability there at the offensive line by signing Greg Mance. I think it was a very low risk move. You didn't have to do it, but I guess they felt that Greg Mance is that valuable to this team because of his versatility. Maybe they're not sure of how Nick Martin's going to be coming back from the injuries that he's had, and at least you have a guy that's going to be able to step in and play center if needed.
Yeah, I think I said next season, it actually would be through 2020, so that's we're 3 seasons of Greg Mance. But, you know, these contracts, it's usually about what kind of signing bonus
guarantees
there are and how it's going to count against the cap, and we haven't seen anything from the Texans on that yet. When we find the information out, we'll let you know. But let's get to this one, Brian. And, you know, these fourth preseason games, all of them are a little bit tough to watch, but the fourth one's always the worst, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that offense was horrible. And then, I got to see, you know, in terms of what we saw out there, the offense, it just looked like it. You thought it was going to get better, but it just was not. Even with Joe Webb out there, just mishap after mishap. It goes to show how much Deshaun Watson makes a difference to this offense, because things tend to run a lot smoother with him under center. Now, he was making mistakes the game previous. Let's not, you know, take him out of the conversation either. But again, when it's go time, that guy's going to be ready to get going with that. But I have to say out of this that Joe Webb, obviously, I think we're carrying 3 quarterbacks this year. We're carrying 3 quarterbacks this year because of Joe Webb's versatility. We can use him on special teams. They're gonna keep Brandon Whedon. I mean, there's no if, and, or buts. It would surprise me if they cut any of those two guys, because Brandon Whedon, I can make a case that he has the strongest arm on this team outside of Deshaun Watson as well, but it just wasn't – they weren't moving the chains. And I know they were with fourth stringers, third stringers, but still, it's got to look good out there.
Accuracy wasn't good for him. The offensive line, yeah. Well, the offensive line. Once you get to the Texans, it's bad enough with the Texans starters at times, but once you get to these second and third string guys, it could be pretty nasty. I'll be interested to see what it looked like when we get to the grades in a couple of days. But yeah, it's pretty nasty when you got to watch Kendall Lamb out there a lot. And Kendall Lamb, I just don't understand what the Texans see. Just keep bringing him in there, and we got to keep looking at him every offseason and preseason. And unfortunately, we got to see way too much of him last year. But let's get to the standouts. Texans standouts, that's what we do. This is where we go back and forth on the standouts from this one, good and bad. And Brian, I mean, just start off with Peter Kalambayi, big special teams plays, some good play at the linebacker position. He was trying to get off your practice squad, buddy.
I think he's off of it with just what he was able to do out there. He had a nice assisted tackle with, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember the guy that he was assisted the tackle with. But it was right in the second half. But he was out there just everywhere out there making plays and just knocking guys down with his ability to go out there and command his presence. So I'm really happy for Peter Kalambayi. I just want him to continue to succeed. It's just that with the flashes that he's shown there, obviously, you know, if you put him on the practice squad, somebody's going to pick him up. Plus, he's a sixth-round pick. You just, you know, the reality of that happening is that you don't want to waste such talent on the practice squad. So he's making it somehow.
Yeah, I hear you trying to, like, get out of it and – you're trying to make, hey, dude, you said it, Peter Kalambayi on the practice squad. We heard you a couple days ago that this guy is going to be there because they need help on special teams. And that's one of the reasons they drafted him. And we started to see a little bit why he can be maybe special on special teams. And, you know, he was also made a couple defensive plays in the standard defense. But that's why Peter Kalambayi is there. Who's your first standout?
Yeah, just kind of doubling back to that. That was with Vincent Smith, by the way. That was with 9:17 left in the second quarter. It was a punt return, and it could have been a deadly punt return, but both worked together to get that guy down, and that's the end of it there. While we were talking about Kendall Lamb, that's my standout in a bad way. This guy has given up 2 sacks. He just got blown by, and like he just seemed powerless against some of the, you know, the bigger linebackers that were trying to get through, and he just looked hopeless out there. Like this is it. This is, you know, the end. You know, and definitely it could have not been. But I honestly think that his stock is dropping quicker than a rock.
Yeah, we know he's terrible. I mean, we don't need to say any more about Kendall Lamb. I don't know what he's doing out there. And you mentioned Chad Slade. You know, I'm not going to throw him as a standout, good or bad, but he, you know, he didn't look good. I thought this was his worst game of the preseason. You know, there was just some plays out there that guys were just rolling right by him, and you know, he was standing still at times. But got some more guys. We got some good stuff. We got some good standouts coming up. But just want to remind you, if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, tell your friends, let them know they can find us on Spotify, the Google Podcast app, iTunes, most anywhere you're going to find your favorite podcast. Do us a favor, share the links to our show with your social media followers so we can bring more people to the party. You guys know this story already, but let's do this. Let's get some more people in here. We want to get more people in the conversation. We want you to be a part of the conversation. Email LockedOnTexans@mail.com for questions or comments. We love to hear from you. We want to know what you're thinking. Again, that's LockedOnTexans@mail.com. All right, Brian, my next standout. Let's get to some good standouts. Joel Heath. Whoa, where was this? He's been here for a while. To me, he's just been kind of a guy. Maybe he was playing it as the Cowboys. Their backups might not be any good on the offensive line, but he blew up a couple of guys in the backfield. Huge tackles behind the line of scrimmage. Just a good one for Joel Heath. Who's up for you next? Who's your next standout?
Next standout is Shane Leckler. Shane Leckler is saying, I'm not ready to retire, buddy. You know, Trevor Daniels been giving him some competition. And, you know, I've been talking about it for quite some time. Shane Leckler needs some competition. And Trevor Daniels certainly is that guy. 60-yard punt in the fourth quarter. 60 yards. This man is still getting the job done. You know, at his age, we're going to have him probably for a little bit longer, maybe another season or two, but we really need to start looking for another punter. But until that happens, let's just enjoy greatness in action.
Right. And I don't know if you're exactly right. I think Bill O'Brien could still be thinking about this. I mean, yeah, Trevor Daniel, he had a bad punt, and then Shane followed it up with booming the 60-yard punt. If you look at the average, though, Trevor Daniel was better. Although Shane was trying to put stuff inside the 20, although there was one where I thought it should have been inside the 10, where he punts it to about the 17-yard line. So to me, yeah, this is a real close one. I mean, that's a major decision. I mean, a lot of times these decisions feel like they're made by the fourth preseason game. I wasn't so sure that they had made their decision about Leckler and Trevor Daniel. I'm really interested. I think they got to make all these decisions by Saturday afternoon. I don't know. Some people might be listening to this by now, but yeah, 3:00 Saturday afternoon. That's the time. So yeah, that's definitely going to be an interesting one. I'll go next. It would be obvious to say Justin Reed because he had a nice interception, but to me, I'm going to go with Brennan Scarlett because he made that happen with his pass rush. He looked good early. He was rushing the passer, getting by the offensive lineman. He was doing some nice things out there. It was more than we've seen from Brennan Scarlett overall. But, you know, tip of the cap to Brennan Scarlett. Nice game for him. And he's one of those guys that's just on the edge. He's trying to make the team. I think he's in because he's also can do some things on special teams. And yeah, I think he's there, but he's got a battle for him, you know, for that last spot. Hey, Brian, who do you got next?
Next guy I have is Terry Swanson, you know, the guy of the game, 37 yards right into the end zone. You can obviously say that that was the game-winning, you know, pretty much the game-winning score for him. And he just blew by the competition. He blew by his defenders. He looked terrific in his run, nice and smooth. It's going to be hard for him to make this roster as a running back per se, but I do see a future in him on the practice squad. In fact, when I put my 53 together, I put Terry Swanson on there. So I really do think that this is a guy you kind of want to stash and keep around to develop, and let's hope that nobody else picks him up.
He had a really nice hole to run through. We haven't seen him hardly at all. I mean, I thought he had no chances to really make the team in the preseason. It just seemed like he must have been a guy that they picked up because they didn't really use him at all in those first few preseason games or barely used him. So, you know, yeah, practice squad, that's what he might have just made with that touchdown run. He might have just got on the practice squad. My next guy is Angelo Blackson, who blew up running play. You know, he just looked disruptive in general. I mean, Angelo Blackson has had a really good preseason. You feel like this defensive line is depth upon depth upon depth with Carlos Watkins. And, you know, just there's Joel Heath. Everybody has played well. I mean, the defensive line, you just got to give it up to them where you're like in panic mode as far as the cornerback situation is concerned. The defensive line, they've got guy after guy after guy, and that's nice to see. Who do you got next?
Braxton Miller, you know, flashed again this game. He had a terrific catch. It was through traffic. As much crap as I've given him, you know, I think he's had a solid camp season, whatever you want to call it. I think he makes his team. And I think, like I said last show, he's going to coexist with Sammy Coates. We're going to pick them both up. But I needed to see something out of Braxton, that he wanted the spot, that he wanted it so bad that he could taste it. So now it's all about him staying healthy. Can he do that? That's the next test.
Yeah, no Sammy Coates, probably still in concussion protocol after that hit. So yeah, it was Braxton Miller who got some playing time among the main, I guess, the main guys that you would think would make the team as a wide receiver. Braxton Miller was out there. Bruce Ellington, of course, as well. Next up, I have Trestan Dekuh. Not so good. Holding on special teams. I'm wondering what they're going to do with him, Brian. This is somebody that, you know, you had him at cornerback. He's moved to safety. Is it really fair to judge him one off season going from cornerback to a brand new position at safety? I think he makes the squad because they want to see what he can do. It might be one of those things where he tweaks something, a hamstring or whatever, so you could put him on injured list. And so you could get another year out of him and kind of figure out what's going to happen. And maybe you bring him back, you know, you put him on a short-term injured list and you bring him back later in the season if there are injuries. But one thing I think is interesting, I'll bring up Ibrahim Campbell, too, as one of my standouts. Oh, yeah. Because Ibrahim Campbell, you know, and Dekuh, I thought it was going to be Dekuh easily. But Ibrahim Campbell's kind of put himself a little bit in the conversation. That's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see. But Ibrahim Campbell and Trestan Dekuh may be fighting for the same thing. Corey Moore, though, nowhere to be found, really. And I'm wondering if he's just on the outside looking in at this point. The safety position, Brian, super interesting.
Yeah, right. I think Corey Moore is going to be right back as a Texan next season. He's going to make the squad. I think that's probably why we didn't see him. They're just going to go on and save him. He is in there. But, you know, those two guys can certainly make their case. Ibrahim Campbell, incredible stop. Third quarter, fourth and one. You know, the Cowboys decide to go for it. And he just stops, you know, the running back in his tracks. Just amazing. I got up for it. Everybody else, it seemed like, in that same unit was just so happy for him. He was thrilled. So, you know, Campbell is making his case. I just don't know where we can put him at this point, at this juncture. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with him. I mean, he's just going to probably have to be a straight cut because, you know, he's been in the league for quite some time. I mean, you know what you have out of him. He's going to be one of the tougher decisions. Like, and I want to double back with Angelo Blackson. Do you go with Angelo Blackson or do you go with Joel Heath? Right now, the guy that's flashing more, I would have to say, with this explosiveness is Angelo Blackson. If either one of those guys is cut, I would not be hurt, but we're keeping one of those guys, but I don't think we keep both.
Sure would be nice if you could use some of these defensive line guys to package to go after a cornerback somewhere, but yeah, I don't know if they're good enough to get you anything as far. Cornerbacks are just so valuable in the NFL right now, and you always see that in the NFL where you think, well, this position looks strong. Can we deal something? But it just typically just doesn't happen. I mean, I don't see it happen much. At least it doesn't happen with the Texans, seemingly. But let's continue with the standouts. But first, quick reminder, if you'd like to check out more shows from our Locked On Network, go to LockedOnSports.com, our Locked On Network website. We just launched the College Channel for the Locked On Podcast Network. Look for your favorite college team. Go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and follow those for free. We got already maybe about 10 of those up, and we're going to keep adding these college teams into our Locked On College Network. So that should be pretty cool. The Locked On Network, up to 2.5 million downloads per month. Again, it's all on LockedOnSports.com. All right, next up, Brian, and my standouts. All right, here we go. Jordan Akins, 2 catches, 33 yards. He just looks like such a natural receiver. It's almost like, Brian, he's a big slot receiver. I'm so excited about what he'll be able to do with Deshaun throwing to him because, you know, right now he's dealt a lot with Brandon Weeden and Joe Webb. But, I mean, he looks so darn athletic and he's so natural a receiver. And you can see him just pluck footballs down in traffic and the way he runs and the way he, it seems like he's usually open. I mean, Jordan Akins is going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch him develop over the next year or two.
Exactly. And who knows if he'll be eventually the starter, you know, this season. Again, as we talked about, you know, what's Ryan Griffin's health going to look like? You know, we both, and I begrudgingly say this, that Brian Griffin's probably going to get the start for this season. You know, I would love to throw Akins in there, but you know how Bill O'Brien is with rookies playing. You know, like I said, Deshaun Watson is the only exception because he's great. He's the great Deshaun Watson that's won a college championship. He's a winner. He's a gamer. He's a baller. He's a shot caller, as I say. And I just feel that eventually we're going to see a lot of Akins just with his athleticism. And, you know, Thomas is going to make the team as well. Jordan Thomas, he's going to be right behind him. So we just have so much depth, so much strength, and a little bit of blocking there. You know, Akins, that's not his calling card, but, you know, he's just so finesse with his movements.
So much depth. I feel that's a little bit of an overstatement. You got two rookies. They still got stuff to prove. It's two rookies behind Ryan Griffin. Ryan Griffin is, you know, he's a okay tight end, but he's nothing spectacular. Yeah, I don't know if I would say so much depth, but maybe they've got more depth than they had last year, which is saying a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not saying much, but it's a little bit. Obviously, you know, a lot of those guys just couldn't stay on the field because of the concussion problems. But who's next on your standout list?
Next on my standout list is Diversion. Diversion, just he, you know what, he fouled up on the first play with the interference, and then he goes back and he keeps battling and disrupting passes. I mean, this guy really wants to make this team. You can see it in his face. And again, I'm putting him back into the bubble category. You know, I was going to bump him off, but I'm putting him back on the bubble.
No,
if he doesn't make this roster.
No, 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 no. Here's what I have on Diversion. Yes, he blew up the guy in the backfield at one point in this game. Yes, he had the interception at the end of the half, just basically fair caught the Hail Mary pass. And, you know, he was there and he made the catch. So be it. It's all well and good. But his man is always open. He misses tackles in the open field. There's a reason why they throw the ball his direction, it seems like, every play. And, you know, it's between him and Sasha Ray, I guess. We don't know how many cornerbacks that they're going to keep because now they've added Webster. Webster didn't play in this one. So You know, that he just looked like they were saving him, didn't want to get want him to get hurt or anything like that. I'll be interested to see what kind of shape he's in, because, you know, he had an injury at the end of last year. So he's had to repair that Achilles. Over the offseason. Yeah, Achilles. So that's going to be interesting. But Sacheré definitely is way better than DeVergne. And if either undrafted guy is going to make it, it's going to be Sacheré. I mean, DeVergne, he's got some athleticism. It looks like he's got speed, but you know, I guess it's technique. He's just not, you know, there's the receiver. Where's DeVergne? Oh, he comes flying in at the end. That's not good enough. You know, I could take it occasionally, but you know, if he's, you know, the guy's, you know, doing a 3 or 4 yard pattern, he's trying to give him a little bit of space because he thinks he's going to go deep. So be it. But it's all the time. It's nonstop with him. So yeah, DeVergne. No, I don't see them keeping him. Maybe he makes the practice squad.
The practice squad. Yeah. And that's where my sentence was going to end at. So he's going to make the practice squad on the bubble for that, because just a spot period is good. You know, in practice squad, that is considered a roster spot. So, you know, that's where I'm going there. And which leads to me into the guy that I was going to talk about next, who has flashed, Andre Sacheré. This guy's making the team. He had a hell of a disruption in the fourth quarter. He always seems to know where he needs to be at the right time. And whenever he's on his assignment, he's on him like white on rice. And that's a guy that we need to have a spot for on this team. I really do think that Sacheré is going to be the one undrafted free agent from this class that is going to be able to make the active roster. I do see it in him. I made a spot for him in my 53, and that has not changed from back then.
Yeah, Boye is a guy that reminds me of a little bit Sacheré, that you see that the potential is there. I'm not telling you he's going to turn into Boye yet. I'm not making that prediction, but you can see it. You could see it a little bit. It's going to be – I'm interested to see what he develops into. No other major standouts for me. Quandre, 3 catches for 44 yards. Quandre is going to make the team, I don't think, but he had a nice game. Nothing else. I don't have anything else really, Brian. Was there anything else that caught your eye?
Yeah, Quan, he is going to actually latch on to somewhere else. Somebody's watching him. He's going to get signed somewhere else because he has done enough to flash. We just don't have room for him here. Tremaine Pope, again, nice explosive run that he had on special teams, or just when he was handed the ball early in the game. And he was given duties, you know, in the first quarter. They were already working him then. And then I noticed with Tyler Irvin, they were just kind of trying him on punt returns. So I really do think that Tremaine Pope wins this battle. We cut Tyler and keep Tremaine.
If they don't, I don't know what they're looking at, because Tremaine Pope, to me, just looks like he's more athletic. He's more explosive.
Yes.
All the stuff that you need for a special teams guy, that's what you're expecting from that position. You need special teams help with that position. And Tremaine Pope looks like the one. I mean, Alfred Blue, he dropped a wide open pass, but he was okay when he was in there. He wasn't too bad. And Alfred Blue, he's the backup running back at this point until Deontay Foreman comes back. We've heard virtually nothing on Deontay Foreman. I'm so interested to hear, you know, what the situation is with him. We're waiting to find out. Is he going to end up on IR to start the season? That's kind of what's going to happen the next week. We're going to find out which guys that we're not so sure about are going to be available and are going to be ready to start the season. And to me, Deontay Foreman's the most important of those guys.
Yeah, I do agree with you there. Vincent Smith, another guy that flashed in front of me. And in the third quarter, I believe it was on a return, he slid. He did a spin move, gets up and picks up an additional couple of yards. So, you know, Vincent Smith is fighting. And, you know, he comes out of Limestone College, you know, tiny Limestone College on the East Coast there. So, you know, it's good for him. I definitely see some practice squad potential out of him. I would see them putting him there because that's some talent that you would love to, you know, have here. Jester Wiye, I really liked his story and I enjoyed, you know, researching him, but I don't know if he's done enough to make this team. Of course, you certainly could put him on the practice squad, but You know, there's only so many guys you can put on. You can only put 10 guys on there right now. So, you know, that's going to fill pretty quickly. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Jester. He flashed a little bit this game, had a nice catch, but then he had a key drop. So, yeah, be interesting.
Vincent Smith is going to be the most likely of those between those two to make the practice squad. Yeah, those guys have no hope of making a wide receiver. I mean, we're still wondering who's going to get that last position between Braxton Miller and Sammy Coates if indeed they think of Braxton Miller and Sammy Coates as the final wide receiver position. You know, maybe Bruce Ellington. You know, I don't know. Maybe he's a bubble guy. I mean, who knows? Because Braxton, the one thing that Braxton can do and has done is he's played slot and he's played, you know, wide out. And, you know, we know the magic word with the Texans. It's versatility. And Braxton has that capability where Sammy Coates, you would just see him as an outside guy. Bruce Ellington, you would just see him as a slot guy. So, you know, and Kiki QT, I'm so excited to see him in the regular season. I know that everybody out there listening is going, what is it? What are you guys going so crazy with this guy? You know, we haven't seen him at all. I have no idea what I'm telling you, when he was playing in the OTAs and the minicamp and all that, he was so incredible. He was open all the time. He made every catch. They kept going to him over and over again. Deshaun was looking for him all the time because he was open. And, you know, I mean, I get it. It's just practice, but still, you know, there was a habit forming there right there. And so I'm anxious to see him play in the regular season. If there is one guy, Brian, if there's one guy that you would like to see make this Texans team in the next couple of days, who would it be? Who's the guy that you go, I don't know if he's going to make it, but boy, I would like to see him make it. My guy is Troy Maine. I mean, he's the guy I want to see make it because, you know, if it's between him and Tyler Irvin, you know, I got to see Troy Maine Pope on the roster. To me, it's a no doubter. And, you know, unless they get another running back, which they could, Troy Maine would be the guy between those two guys. But I still think they could go out and get another running. I mean, that's the most obvious thing that you can pick up in the next week. And remember, they're fourth on the waiver wire. So they're going to have priority amongst a lot of different teams. And there's running backs that are going to be out there for sure. Got to be better running backs out there than Alfred Blue and Tyler Irvin and Troy Maine Pope, I would think.
Yeah, that's good that you're thinking about that in advance as well. With us, you know, being 4-12 last season, that kind of benefits in your favor in these situations. But there's a lot of talent that we had in this training camp. Of course, Sasha Ray is my guy. But with the depth that we do need at corner, he has a great shot of making this team. So I've been leaning more along the lines of Angelo Blackson. I don't know if this guy's going to make the team, but I hope he does, because it's just been great. Just over the short time he's been here since last season, but he's really been able to pick things up and make explosive plays, always keeping his eye on where the ball is and trying to hawk it as much as he can.
And I'm going to go ahead and just give the two guys that I don't even need to ask, Brian. I'm going to give you the two guys that we don't want to see make the team. Number one, Kendall Lamb. And number two, I was watching him on special teams this game, just missing. He missed like two or three tackles on one punt return. Jay Prosh, like, he's just worthless. I just don't understand why they love this guy. I mean, he's not good on special teams. He barely plays, you know, in a regular set offense. I guess they want to have a fullback around. I don't know what the point of it is when you've got Deshaun Watson. You're usually running that sort of spread offense where it's Deshaun and a one-back backfield, and he's in the shotgun. I mean, what's the point of Jay Prosh? Why? So we'll see. We'll see if he lasts yet another season, if there's another Jay Prosh season under the Texans' watch. But would I be right there, Brian? Are those your two guys?
Yeah, that he's right there. He must have some unmentionable pictures of either Bill O'Brien or the owner. I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of as far as why he's here, because he's sparingly used. I mean, we're all about having positions on the team where you're used, at the utmost. What your availability is. I mean, you're there, you're available, and you're out there wanting to contribute to the team. But when do we see Jay Prosh? We don't see him that often. You know, I'm all about making sure that if you're on this team, you've got to have a purpose. So I know it's not going to happen. He's not going to get cut. You know what? When we find out on cut day Saturday, if Jay Prosh gets cut, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to take a shot. I just, because that'll be so surprising for me to see.
You're gonna take a shot, you said? You get a little drunk?
I'm going to take a shot. Yeah, take a shot in celebration. There you go. You're more than welcome to with me, Rob, but I know you don't drink, so I'll take two for you. There you go.
Well, that's all we got for this one. Again, the Texans pull it out. They win. Who cares? That when we got the thing is this game's over with. That means the season is just a little over a week away, and that's the big thing on our. I think we're gonna do our next show on Sunday. We'll go over, who's left with the Texans roster. I'm guessing a lot of this stuff's going to be done Friday, but we'll wait till Saturday afternoon, maybe to let things get settled down a little bit. And then by Sunday, we're going to give you sort of a breakdown of the roster. We might have a few grades either Sunday show or Monday show. So look forward to that, but we'll get you, right into, the preview of the first game against the Patriots. That's going to be huge. We should have a crossover with, our friend over with the Locked On Patriots, the host over there, breaking down this game. So we got a lot of good stuff coming up over the next week and a half. Hope you stay with us. Brian's got you covered, as you know, on houseofhouston.com. Everything that's going on in Houston sports. It's a fan side affiliate. My Houston Sports Talk podcast. Easy to find everywhere. iTunes, the Google Podcast. And we're talking everything. Astros. We even had some Longhorns talk this week with Bob Ballou, who covers the Longhorns over in Austin. But that's all we got for this one. Oh, brother, only about, nine, 10 days away from the first game? Can't wait for that. As always, though, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.